Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Live Your Raw Life podcast. Welcome to the platform where the intention is to help you live your rich, authentically aligned, wholesome life. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Watkins. Together, let's raise our vibrations and awareness in order for you to live the raw life that was meant for you. Hello, and welcome back to episode 4 of this little mini-series that we are calling Aligning to Your Life's Purpose. Last week, I began speaking about this healing journey that I am on and where it started with the healing of my right hip and how I moved through that healing process and the resources that I used for it. And it's so interesting as I kind of reflect back on this and look over the course of my healing journey that I didn't even really realize what was in store and the healing that had started. So it was really, it's been a really crazy ride, and that was where it all began. So I'm going to continue today with the next sort of phase that I went through in my healing journey, and that is all around food and the food that I was choosing to put in my body and some of the unintended consequences that came from that. So I was working out, feeling really great, feeling really strong, tons of running, lots of races, and I was eating fairly well, I thought. We mainly had like this Midwest food lifestyle, which was meat with every meal, basically, and a lot of potatoes and pasta and a lot of carbs. I was drinking Coors Light at the time, lots of Coors Light and some summer shandy and just lots of beer, actually, lots of beer. And then I started experiencing some various symptoms that were not necessarily extreme, but they were enough to grab my attention. And actually got to the point where I wasn't feeling super awesome. So somebody suggested to me that I should try and eliminate gluten and I should try and eliminate sugar. So I was like, okay, sure, let's give it a shot. I mean, sugar, I love sweets. After dinner, having a brownie or a cookie or something sweet, a piece of chocolate even, was like amazing. That was my go-to. And I have a family member, my dad actually, he is like that. He likes to have his sweets after his meal. So I think that's kind of where I got it from. Plus it's just, they're delicious, right? So I decided to cut out gluten-ish. I wasn't 100% gluten-free, but did my best. And this is, you know, back in 2009. And so the gluten-free options in the Midwest were not like they are today. There's definitely been an extreme change in options, and they're just so vast and wide. And now you can get almost anything gluten-free, at least where we're living now, which is awesome. And taking out sugar was fairly easy initially. So what I did was, you know, I would pack my sandwich or my leftover meal that we had from the night before, and then I would pack these power bars that were sugar-free. And it was kind of like my little treat. And at school, you know, I'd go into the break room and the lunch room, whatever, for staff and have my lunch, and I would finish up with this power bar. And eventually what started happening was about 45 minutes to an hour after I had lunch, I would be in so much pain. I would be like doubling over in pain. And it was so hard to teach and pay attention to what was going on in my gym because I was just like miserable. So I was talking to some family members about this and they shared a story with me. And I don't want to name any names because it's not my story to tell, but I think it really adds some context to why I decided to go this route. So someone in our family was not feeling very well. They had achy joints and just lots of pain and just kind of felt off. So they went to this special doctor in, it's an alternative doctor in Northern Minnesota. And this doctor said that this person had Lyme's disease. This person had already been tested in conventional medicine for Lyme's, and the test came back negative, which is very common. So they were like, no, I don't have Lyme's. I've been tested for that. So didn't believe them initially. Totally get it. A couple years go by and the pain significantly increased over the course of those 2 years. And some other things were happening, like definitely behavior was changing, mood was drastically changing. And so let me back up a minute. Through those 2 years, you know, the pain was so bad that they went to their conventional doctor and they were diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And if you know anything about fibromyalgia, it's kind of this, well, you got it and there's no cure for it. And it's kind of what I was told is this bucket that if doctors are unsure of and it's these similar symptoms, they kind of dump, to put a label on it, they put these patients in this category. So they were diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And then at the course of these 2 years, at the end of it, there was some drastic changes that were happening. So mental health was starting to be affected and it was very clear. And moods were swinging and changing drastically. And come to find out, they went back into the doctor and sure enough, they tested positive for Lyme's. Now, what happens with Lyme's disease is if you go untreated, it starts to attack the brain. And that's what was happening here. So had they paid, you know, had that first test not come back negative and they would have sought out treatment and maybe got a second opinion or, you know, all the what ifs, they probably wouldn't have gotten to that point. But unfortunately, they did. And the effects are lasting. When you have Lyme's and it goes, you know, untreated for that long, it definitely lasts a lifetime. So this person still lives with significant amount of pain due to this situation. Now, I heard this story and I was like, wow, that's amazing. And I was always curious, like, how did they discover that this person had Lyme's? Well, so as I was telling this family, these family members, you know, what I had been experiencing, I was having these horrible pains in my digestive system after I ate lunch. And I couldn't figure out what it was. Nothing else had really changed. I had just gotten rid of sugar and surely that's not going to make my stomach feel upset. You know, cutting back on gluten, that could probably only help me. And so it was really kind of frustrating. So they suggested there was a doctor in St. Cloud, Minnesota that does EDS testing. And EDS stands for electrodermal screening. And it's FDA approved, it's all natural, it's non-invasive and proactive approach to health and wellness. It's actually based off Chinese medicinal practices and techniques. And it's been used all over the world by over 30,000 doctors. So lots of, you know, history with this EDS, this electrodermal screening, And hearing this story, I was kind of like, okay, now I had just come out of this experience where I was able to move past the pain in my right hip by visiting a past life and some, you know, other experiences, which I shared last week. So I was like, okay, I'm totally open again to this and whatever, whatever comes my way. So I'm going to give it a shot. So I made an appointment and I went in, and it is a little skeptical. Like, I could see how people would be a little skeptical, because what you do is you hold a brass rod in the palm of one hand, like you make a fist around a brass rod, and then they have this special pen that has a brass tip on it that's connected to their computer. And it measures these, it uses the electromagnetic field to measure electrical resistance along the pathways in your body. So these meridians, these energy lines that Rebecca Llewellyn actually talked about in her podcast. And I'd highly recommend going and listening to that episode. She is so wise and has so much great information. But what they do then is, by using this technology, they can measure and test the body and identify different imbalances in the energy flow to specific glands and organs and body systems. So I went in and I'm holding this rod, and, you know, they're taking their brass pen. I'm going to use quotations around that. It looks like a pen-ish. And, you know, tapping different places on my hand while I'm holding this rod. And at the end, they give you a little printout and it shows you what they've discovered. So what came back for me was I was intolerant to soy, dairy, and gluten. Well, when I did a little bit further research, I realized that these power bars that were sugar-free that I was eating were basically 100% soy. And I didn't have these specific protein enzymes in my digestive system to break the soy down, which is why it was causing so much pain. And it was so amazing that the minute I took these power bars out of my diet, the pain was gone. It was absolutely gone. Now, after you have children, your body changes. It's just part of being a woman and having children. And I always had this little like pouch in my stomach after I had Cooper. I actually had diastasis pretty bad after him. I had to wear like one of those girdles that helps bring the muscles back together. So when you're pregnant, the abdominal muscles, you know, they have to stretch in order for the baby to grow. And oftentimes they can stretch and they can rip and they can rip open. And that's what happened with me. I used to have this, I loved my belly button. It was this cute little innie belly button. And after I had Cooper, I now have a forever outie belly button, but it doesn't matter because he was definitely worth all of it. But I would always, this pouch, right? Like I had this pouch and I was working out so much and strengthening my abs and nothing seemed to make it go away. Well, after I discovered that I was intolerant to gluten and I took the gluten out and I took the sugar out, my stomach began to flatten again. Like it was in my 20s. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And this may be like a little TMI for you, but just to really add some depth to this healing process, again, I think it's important to share just a little bit here. So all through my childhood and younger adulthood, my bowel movements were not very regular. It was like maybe once every 10 days. I mean, it was horrible. And I ate so much dairy. I mean, so much cheese. My favorite kind of milk is raw milk straight from the bulk tank and just a little bit frozen. So it's so thick and creamy, and then it's cold. Ugh, with a bowl of cereal. Oh my goodness, my favorite. And I was a whole milk drinker. So I was drinking lots of dairy, eating lots of cheese, and when I eliminated that, things started to change a little bit there too, but not as much as I will share later in another episode. But the significant changes that I saw from eliminating sugar, soy, and gluten were enough to make me a believer in this EDS treatment that I experienced. And yeah, so what this did was it really allowed me to dive deep into the food that we were eating and put me on this food journey. And I became really mindful of what kind of food I was buying is what it started with. And I started hearing this term organic. And I had never really heard this term before, so I was unfamiliar. And I was discovering that organic food is a little bit more expensive than conventional food. But then as I started to watch some documentaries and do some more research, I really discovered the benefits to eating organic food. So this took my family and I on this really incredible path. And it has really brought us to where we are now and how we eat currently. And it is expensive. Like, there's no other way to say that. It's expensive. However, what I'm going to share with you at the end here is how you can eat organic and buy these kinds of foods and save a little bit of money so that this doesn't, you know, empty your pocketbook. Is one of the main reasons why I'm sharing this story. So when Isaac and I first got married, I wasn't much of a cook at all. Like, I didn't even know how to make chicken. I could make soup out of a can. And Isaac has this natural gift. In fact, the first meal he ever cooked for me was venison steak, and eggs for breakfast. And it was so delicious. And I was like, I'm going to marry this man. He just stole my heart with venison steak and eggs. It was so good. And then I, you know, we get married and I'm like, hey, let's order pizza. And I'm going to make hamburger helper, which was like my version of cooking when we were just married at the age of 23. And so now we have two kids, and once we had Zeke, I was, like I had mentioned in episodes past, I was very aware of what we were purchasing, but it is so drastically different than what we should have really been eating. We were eating a ton of packaged foods, not necessarily meals like that, but just pastas and, you know, so much red meat and from the grocery store, which isn't the best, and in my opinion, and some research that I've heard, you know, looked into. And so it all started to evolve, and it was at this point where we really went deep with this. So we became a member of this really adorable grocery store in St. Cloud that was called the Good Earth Food Co-op. Oh, it's just the cutest place. It's small, but they have everything organic. They had farm fresh eggs. That was always Zeke's job. He would always fill the egg cartons. And in fact, there's still some times where he'll smell something and he'll be like, Mom, that smells like the egg cooler at the co-op. And I'm like, oh. And I, you know, we became a member, and it was really cool because it was $100 and you are a lifetime member. So I'm actually still a member, even though I don't live there. But every time I go to St. Cloud, I go to the co-op and I use my member discount because you get 5% off once a month. And they have other perks. But the fact that I was helping support local farmers, a local business, and I was buying nourishing food for my family was an essential and super important to me. So we became members of the food co-op. And then we also discovered a CSA in the area. And if you are not familiar with a CSA, it stands for Community Supported Agriculture. So we found a farm where we had a vegetable CSA, and it was so fun because once a week in the summer and through the beginning of the fall, we would receive a box, and it was always random. We never knew what was going to come in the box, and we had so many new vegetables and fruit that we learned what they were, you know, how to cook with them, and the benefits to them. And it was just really great. I remember scapes. One week we got scapes and we pulled it out of the box and we're like, what the fuck is this? And the first week we actually threw them away. And then I was talking to my girlfriend about it and I was like, hey, we got these. You have those. We got those in our vegetable CSA and I have no idea what they are. And she's like, oh my gosh, they're garlic scapes. They're so good. They're like a green onion, but also like this garlic taste. And I love garlic. Love, love, love. I could eat cloves of garlic. No one would want to talk to me, but I would eat like garlic days and days and days on end. And so we started cooking with these scapes and I was like, oh my gosh, this is a game changer. These are so good. So lots of fun stuff that we learned through that. Now to do this, it did, you know, it was a little bit more expensive, but what we realized is if we menu planned and meal planned, then our expenses at the grocery store were significantly cut down. So I decided to create a Google calendar. So we all, if you have Gmail, you have a Google calendar. And I had one and I just created an additional one that was shared between Isaac and I. And what would happen is, you know, on the weekends, we'd sit down, we'd menu plan, figure out what we were going to eat, thinking about being super healthy and eating raw fruits and vegetables as much as possible. Still with this red meat potato foundation. But nonetheless, how this Google Calendar works is we would choose the recipe from Pinterest or various food blogs that are out there. And now there are so many. One of our favorites now that I will tell you, and I'll link this in the show notes, is Budget Bites. This woman does such a great job. There's really great recipes that are very simple. And she lists out how much each serving cost. So each item and the amount, she'll write down the total amount of what that will cost at the grocery store, and then per serving what that meal costs. Genius. So great. I highly recommend Budget Bites. We got a lot of recipes from there and kind of stemmed off and created our own, but definitely look into that if you are interested. So we would then copy the link, put the link in the notes on the event that we created, titled whatever it was that we were eating, and then save it. And it was saved on this calendar that we called Meals at a Glance. So whoever got home first could just go on their phone or go on the computer or whatever, open up the link, and they could start dinner because they knew what was for dinner. And it saved us so much money because I usually go to the grocery store once a week so I could buy everything we needed for the week. And we didn't have to make all these errands and run all these trips to the store. Although I am a little notorious for forgetting like that one item that I overlooked when I was making the grocery list. However, it really did save us a ton of money. So this is one way that you can cut down on the expense of eating whole raw foods, especially organic. And you know, one thing that I realized through this whole journey, and I've always said this to Isaac, like this is our health. We are investing in our bodies and in our health. So instead of having to pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars for prescription drugs every month or every year and constantly having to go to the doctor, we're putting that money into the food that is grown by these farmers who are growing it with love. And we're bringing it home and we are spending time together in the kitchen, or even just spending time in the kitchen preparing these meals with love. So that's what we're putting into our body, are these nutritious, nutrient-dense foods that are prepared with love all the way through their lifespan. And what we put in our body is what comes out. As within, so without. As above, so below. So I felt this intuitively. And then I heard the saying, health is wealth. And I was like, yes, exactly. That's what I've been saying this whole time. So I want to just offer you some tips on what you can do if this is something that you're like, okay, it is expensive, but how can I start, or how can I save money so that I can start eating this way? And starting is easy. Just start small. So maybe it's just you're going to start with purchasing extra fruits, which would really be a great place to start. So instead of buying 2 bags of chips, maybe buy 1 smaller bag of chips and extra apples or extra berries. My favorite treat right now is apples, dates with some lime juice squeezed on top, and you let it sit for a little bit and the dates get a little bit softer. Oh my gosh, it is like caramel apples. So good. Or instead of apples, dates and celery. Oh my gosh, I had that for my snack today. So good. So start by purchasing, you know, those raw fruits and vegetables and just eliminating, just or not even really eliminating, just substituting, you know, that for one of the sugary or salty snacks that you would typically buy in your week. And then just start to get creative. Here's another really big favorite. And actually, this is a favorite of the whole family, except for CJ. He's not a banana fan. But if you take a banana and you just slice it up, I put it on a plate, you can either add some almond butter. I choose not to. I just add a little bit of honey, some cinnamon, and some hemp seeds. Oh my gosh. And it's like the perfect dessert. It now curbs my cravings. I don't eat my little chocolate or my brownie or my cookie anymore. I eat snacks like what I just shared with you. Bring some of that into your home instead. Some ways you can cut down on costs is find a CSA. We also, in the last couple years, have joined a chicken CSA, which this local farmer up in northern, like the northwest part of Colorado, they have this adorable farm. Their chickens are organic. They're happy. They go outside. They're not these, you know, factories, these chicken factories. They're actually grown with love. And that's, again, what we're putting into our body. So there's these CSAs all over. So see if you can discover that. And now that we're getting into the winter season, most of the time those farms are not operating their CSA, but something to start saving your money for the spring. Again, the next thing you can do, like I mentioned, to save some money is to meal plan. And maybe it's creating a Google Calendar. Maybe it's writing it down. I know a lot of people have like a chalkboard that they have in their house, in their kitchen, and they write their meals on there. And that's the food that they buy. And again, substituting some of those snacks, you know, bringing in those organic raw fruits and vegetables as opposed to the sugary and salty snacks. And what we noticed when we started to meal plan was we would go out to eat less. And it was because we had all the food on hand. And it was like, gosh, I just can't justify going to a restaurant when I have all the food to make this meal right here. And yeah, there's some nights where you're like, oh my gosh, it's a Friday night. This week has been crazy insane. All I want to do is just have someone make me a meal and sit on the couch and relax. We still do that, but our going out to eat, it has significantly decreased. And now it's a special treat. And it's kind of like, you know, those celebrations or Or we are on a vacation and that's what we saved our money for because we have been spending the time cooking all these meals. So those are just three very simple things that you can do to help free up some of the funds so that living this health is wealth doesn't necessarily clear out your bank account. So as I've mentioned through this episode, some of the benefits to this way of eating and you know, having that those raw organic foods in your home and buying them from either a CSA or maybe like your local's your local farmer's market, or a lot of times like we'll go to natural grocers or even Whole Foods and it tells you on the tag if it's local and where it came from. In fact, now that we're in Glenwood Springs, we're seeing vegetables that are local from Longmont, which is like, oh, that's where we moved from. So it's kind of like this special like, yep, I'm just going to bring that home because it's from Longmont and maybe it's asparagus or whatever and something I didn't have on the list, but I can definitely cook it up with a meal that I'm sure I have planned. So you know where your food is coming from. You know that it is made up of the most nutrients because they haven't been wiped away by pesticides and all the chemicals that are sprayed on the fields. You know that it has been grown and made with love, and that is what you're putting into your body. And those are some really important benefits. And it's important to keep in mind that when you spend money on your food, you're investing in yourself. You're investing in your health. And you're not giving that money to a doctor or to a pharmacy or a pharmaceutical company. You're putting that money back and keeping it in your house. But in the meantime, or, you know, a side effect of that, I guess, a positive side effect is you're also benefiting other local families. So I am so excited that the Bennetts and the Benetary Farms are going to be back on the podcast. If you heard that episode, they were just in the beginning stages of opening their farm and creating this sustainable farm in Missouri. And I said at the end of that podcast, I wanted to check back in with them in the fall to see how their land is adapting to its new role and how the farm is operating now that it's got some time underneath and where they're at. And some things have shifted just a little bit. So I'm so excited to have them back on. And that episode will be coming out at the end of November. And it's just going to be really great to check in with them. And that's the thing. When you hear their story and then you know, like, okay, I'm going to go to their farm stand because I live in Missouri and I live close, you're supporting this local family who is growing this food. And let me tell you, I know firsthand that Cliff and Lindsay grow their food with so much love. There is so much passion behind what they do. It is absolutely incredible. And her and Cliff just love to be in the kitchen and they make amazing food. Amazing food. So stay tuned for that interview, that follow-up interview that is coming at the end of November. So with that, I just really, you know, focusing on food and what you're putting in your body is so important. And it was all because of this EDS treatment therapy that I experienced that allowed me to become more cognizant of what I was putting in my body and the effects that it was having. It was really, really powerful next step in my healing journey. So it continues. Next week, we'll be back with episode 5 in our mini series of 8 that is called Aligning to Your Life's Purpose. Thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. Thank you for your time, energy, and presence. I'm grateful for you and your motivation to improve your quality of life. Heal yourself, heal the world. It's always an adventure. Adventure awaits. If something in this episode resonated with you, please subscribe to the Live Your Raw Life podcast and leave a review while you are there. Every time a review or rating is received, it opens the platform that allows the show to reach a wider range of listeners. This is one way that you can show your support. Another way to show your support is you can become a friend of the podcast if you just visit patreon.com/liveyourrawlife, and for $3 a month, you can support the podcast. It is so greatly appreciated. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.